إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد باب قول الله تعالى وكان الله سميعا بصيرا So, باب قول الله تعالى وكان الله سميعا بصيرا. This is all carrying on with the names and attributes of Allah. And this particular chapter now, he begins with this quote, this ayah from Surah An-Nisa, وكان الله سميعا بصيرا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. And in the hadith, he mentions, وَقَالَ الْأَعْمَشْ عَنْ تَمِيمٍ عَنْ عُرْوَةٍ عَنْ عَائِشَةٍ قَالَتْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي وَسِعَ سَمْعُهُ الْأَصْوَاتِ فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Here now the author, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, is going to mention some ahadith regarding more of the names and attributes of Allah. And here it is about the hearing and the seeing. The hearing and the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, As-Sami' and Al-Basir are two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا هَذَانِ إِسْمَانِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ السَّمِيعُ وَالْبَصِيرُ وَيَقْرِنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بَيْنَهُمَا كَثِيرًا. These two names, that Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing, they are often mentioned together. He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. Those two names are often mentioned together. لِأَنَّ بِالسَّمْعِ إِدْرَاكَ الْأَصْوَاتِ. Because with the attribute of hearing, you have a grasp of all of the sounds. Hearing, meaning you hear everything. وَبِالْبَصَرِ إِدْرَاكَ الْأَفْعَالِ. And with eyesight, you see everything. So it is a combination that is together, that Allah hears everything and Allah sees everything. So that is a combination that goes together. It is a combination that goes together. فالأقوال متعلقها السمع والأفعال متعلقها البصر. وَلِهَذَا يَقْرِنُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيْنَهُمَا كَثِيرًا. So the hearing and the seeing, they are put together because actions and statements are covered by them. Allah sees all of your actions and Allah hears all of your statements. The hearing and the seeing are often mentioned together because they encompass those two fundamental areas, your actions and your statements. So Allah sees all of your actions and Allah hears all of your statements. وَالسَّمِيعُ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلَهُ مَعْنَيَانِ. The name As-Sami'. The all-hearing, one of the names of Allah, and it has two meanings. It has two meanings to it. that Allah is As-Sami'. Firstly, idrak al-masmu', that of course Allah encompasses and hears everything. Allah encompasses and hears that which is to be heard. Idrakul masmu'. And the second meaning of it is the fact that Allah is the all-hearing. What is the second meaning behind it? The first meaning, obvious, that Allah hears everything that is to be heard. Allah encompasses in His hearing everything there is to be heard. But the second meaning of Allah being the all-hearing, anyone? The dua meaning what?
Even if you don't say it.
That's all hearing. That Allah hears everything. But you're almost there. The answering of the dua. Allah is As-Sami', the all hearing. One of the meanings of that is that Allah hears your dua and answers your dua. So He answers the one who is making that dua, what is heard. فمن الأول ما ذكره المؤلف رحمه الله في قوله تعالى قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها. This ayah, it is a reference to the first meaning that Allah hears everything. That Allah hears all of what the sounds, all of the voices, everything a person says, everything that is to be heard, everything that is a sound, then it is grasped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these ayat it talks about how Allah hears the discussion between them. وَمِنَ الثَّانِي قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّ رَبِّي لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. In Surah Ibrahim 39 is a proof for the second meaning. In that one it says, indeed my Lord is the all-hearer of the dua. Allah is the one who hears the dua, meaning Allah is the one who then answers the dua, that answers the dua of the one who makes that dua. أي لمجيبه وليس المراد لسميع الدعاء أي لمدركه سامعه لأن مجرد سمع لا يتناسب مع قول الداعي إن ربي لسميع الدعاء. How is that a proof that Allah answers the dua? The ayah literally only says that indeed my Lord hears the dua. That's what the ayah literally says. That indeed my Lord hears the dua. How are we deriving from that? That Allah answers the dua. That isn't there in the ayah explicitly. The ayah explicitly just says, literally, that my Lord hears the dua. How have we interpreted that to mean that my Lord answers the dua? Anybody, you can't cheat. Because what would be the purpose of saying that my Lord can hear the dua? My Lord hears the dua of the one calling upon Him, if Allah was never going to answer any of the du'as? What would be the point of you saying my Lord hears the du'a if your du'a is never going to be answered anyway? The purpose of saying that my Lord hears the du'a of the one calling upon Him is to illustrate and to indicate that He is the one who then answers the du'a of that person. Not just to say that Allah hears the du'a but doesn't answer it. That wouldn't be praiseworthy. So the purpose of this year is to highlight that Allah is the one who hears the dua and therefore is the one who answers the dua too. Then, the first meaning of the name As-Sami', that Allah is the all-hearing, which was the meaning that Allah hears everything, that can be understood in three different types. So we said the name of Allah, that He hears everything, He is the all-hearing, has two meanings. One, that he hears everything, and two, that he answers the dua. In terms of the fact that Allah hears everything, that is three things you can understand from it. Firstly, a general encompassing hearing of Allah. A general encompassing hearing of Allah, that Allah hears everything that is to be heard. One is a general open meaning to it, that Allah hears everything there is to be heard. كُلُّ مَا يُسْمَعْ فَسَمْعُ اللَّهِ مُتَعَلَّقٌ بِهِ فَيَسْمَعُ أَصْوَاتِ بَنِي آدَمْ وَمَا يَقُولُونَهُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَشَرٍ. So Allah hears the voices of the humans and everything they are saying, from good or from evil, whatever is being uttered upon their tongues, then it is heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa aswatil baha'im, and all of the animals, of the noises of the animals, the noises they make, everything is heard by Allah. Wa aswat al hasharat, even the insects, sounds that the insects make, then it is heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta دبيب النمل على صخرة الصماء يسمعها عز وجل. Even the ant treading upon that rock, that tiny footstep of the ant upon the rock, is heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يخفى عليه شيء, there is nothing hidden from him. هذا هو السمع بالمعنى العام. This is the meaning of Allah being the all-hearing in the general sense, that Allah hears everything that is to be heard. Secondly, another meaning of Allah being the all-hearing is الثاني التهديد. تارة يراد به التهديد. Sometimes what is meant by it is a meaning of threat and warning. You understand from this point that Allah is the all-hearing, a warning and a threat upon you occasionally. How so? For example, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءٌ. That indeed Allah has heard the statement of those who say that indeed Allah is poor and we are rich. In this context, what is the meaning of Allah having heard this? It is a meaning of threat upon them. It is a meaning of warning upon them, that indeed Allah has heard your statement. Heard your statement that he is poor and you are rich. So within that hearing is a meaning of threat and warning upon them. That is another understanding of it. In another ayah, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Do they think that we do not hear their private conversations? Do they think we don't hear their private talking and their plotting and their conversations? بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Rather, our messengers, the angels, are there writing everything they say. Do they think these quiet talks are hidden from us and we do not hear it? Rather, our messengers are there, the angels, writing all of it. So in these contexts, when it mentions Allah hearing that, there is a meaning with it of threat upon those people, of warning upon those people. The third meaning, WP16FXY. Skoda. Everyone taking a good look? خلاص. الثالث يراد به التأييد. I always worry when it comes, it's going to be my plate, but alhamdulillah. الثالث يراد به التأييد. The third meaning of it is aid. When it mentions that Allah hears, the meaning of it is that Allah is in your aid. Allah is in your help. The fact that Allah hears. That is one meaning of it. مثل قوله تعالى لموسى وهارون لما قالا ربنا إننا نخاف أن يفرط علينا أو أن يطغى قال لا تخافا إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. Regarding Musa and Harun عليهما السلام, when Allah mentioned in this ayah to them, إنني معكما, indeed I am with you, أسمع وأرى, I hear and I see. Your circumstance, your situation, what is happening, I am with you, I hear and I see. Meaning what? That I can hear and see what is happening, that Allah is in your aid, I am in your aid. I hear and I see what is occurring. I am in your help and I am in your aid. So sometimes the meaning of Allah hearing can have a context of Allah's aid for you. And previously, number two there, Allah hearing can have a meaning of warning and threat upon you. So three meanings for the fact that Allah is the all-hearing. The first one, just the general meaning that Allah hears everything that there is to be heard. Number two, that Allah hears in a context where it means a warning and a threat upon you. That Allah hears your statements and your secrets and what you plan and plot. And thirdly, a meaning of aid and help. Allah hears you, that Allah is in your aid and in your help. So the hearing of Allah can have those three contexts. أَمَّا السَّمِعَ الَّذِي بِمَعْنَى إِجَابَةَ الدَّاعِ. That was all the first type of hearing. The second type of hearing was the answering of the dua. فَمِثْلُهُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ رَبِّي لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. The ayah where it says, indeed my Lord is the one who hears the dua. وَقَوْلُ الْمُصَلِّ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. When you're praying as well and you say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Allah hears the one who praises him. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Allah hears. لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. The one who praises him. سَمِعَ هُنَا بِمَعْنَى إِسْتَجَابَ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. So Allah hears the one who praises him. The meaning of that in this context, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Meaning Allah answers the dua of the one who praises him. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Meaning Allah answers the dua of the one who praises him. وَلَيْسَ الْمُرَادْ بِذَلِكَ مُجَرَّدْ سَمَاعْ صَوْتِ الْحَامِدْ بَلِ الْمُرَادْ بِذَلِكَ إِسْتِجَابَتُهُ. And the point there isn't simply that Allah hears the one praising him. It is greater than that. Allah hears the one praising him. And on top of that, answers to the one who praises him. Then the Shaykh says, ثُمَّ عَلَمْ أَنَّ سَمْعَ اللَّهِ وَبَصَرَهُ حَقِيقَةٌ. No! Just like we've said in previous times, the hearing of Allah and the seeing of Allah, it is a hearing and seeing in reality. This is not a metaphor. It is not some interpretation of something else. The seeing and the hearing of Allah is a hearing and seeing of reality. وَلَيْسَتْ رَاجِعَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ. And it doesn't just mean, in the general sense, the knowledge of Allah. Hearing and seeing doesn't just mean you can say, well, it doesn't actually mean hearing and seeing. It just means that Allah has knowledge of everything. You don't affirm it in that general way. You affirm it that Allah has hearing. Allah has seeing. And then on top of that, that is with everything else, that Allah is all knowledgeable of everything. But you don't just say the hearing and seeing is just a subcategory or an explanation of Allah being the all-knowing. It is something definitive in of itself and real in of itself. Allah hears and Allah sees. خلافاً للمعتزلة المعتزلة الذين يقولون إن الله لا يسمع ولا يبصر والعياذ بالله. The Mu'tazila, and you'll hear this name often, the Mu'tazila, one of the groups of innovation. They claim, they say, that Allah does not hear and Allah does not see. وَأَنَّ مَعْنَ السَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ. And they say the meaning of hearing and seeing in this context when referring to Allah is simply a general meaning of al-ilm. Huwa al-ilm. That it is just knowledge. بدون رؤية مفعول أو سماع مقول. Without actually seeing what is to be seen or hearing what is to be heard in the sense of actual hearing and seeing. They say there is no actual hearing and seeing in that sense. But it is just all along with the idea of Allah being all knowledgeable, that He knows about everything, He hears, sees, meaning generally He has knowledge of everything. Not that there is an actual vision of what is to be seen, or there is actual hearing of what is to be heard. And that is from the people of innovation, that statement. Rather, we say this is a mistake. لكن نقول أخطأتم خطأً كبيرا. The Shaykh says, we tell them you have made a great mistake. بل السمع غير العلم. Hearing is different to knowledge. لأن علم الله تعالى متعلق بشيء قبل أن يكون مسموعا. The knowledge of Allah precedes what is heard. Meaning, before that person talks, does Allah know what he's going to say? Of course. So the knowledge precedes, goes ahead of, comes before what is even heard. Because Allah already knows what you're going to say. What is seen, what you're going to do, your actions. Are they known to Allah before you do them? Known to Allah before you do them. So that knowledge again comes ahead of the seeing. Hence the knowledge is something different to the hearing and the seeing. It is not all and the same and the one thing. وَقَبْلَ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُبْصَرًا فَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ مَا كَانْ وَمَا سَيَكُونَ. So Allah knows what happened and what will occur. All of that is in the knowledge of Allah. Before what is heard, and before what is seen. Meaning before a person does the action and before the person makes his statement. That is already in the knowledge of Allah. So then when the person does make the statement and does make the action, then that is heard and that is seen. That is now separate and different to the actual overall knowledge. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ حَدِيث عَائِشَة قَالَت. Then in the hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها, where it was mentioned, الحمد لله الذي وسع سمعه الأصوات فأنزل الله تعالى على النبي قد سمع الله قول التي تجادلك في زوجها. So when it was said that all praises to Allah, the one who hears all of the voices, all of the sounds. All praises to Allah, the one who hears all of the sounds and voices. And then Allah revealed the ayah that indeed Allah has heard the statement of the one who is complaining to you about her husband. And this was about a woman, imra'a ja'at tashtaki ila an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zawjaha. A woman had come complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about her husband. A woman had come complaining about her husband. Wa ja'at tashtaki ila ar-rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam بأنها كبرت وأن لها أولادا من زوجها وأن زوجها ظاهر منها تشتكي إلى الله. So she came to complain about various issues regarding her husband and this marriage. وَالنَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُحَاوِرُهَا وَيُيَسِّرْ عَلَيْهَا الْأَمْرِ. And the Prophet ﷺ was talking to her, discussing this issue with her, her issue, and making the affair easy upon her, making the matter easy upon her, discussing that affair with her. وَلَكِنَّهَا أَبَتْ وَأَصَرَّتْ. But she continued upon her complaint. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Then this ayah was revealed that indeed Allah hears the debating of the one who is talking about her husband regarding that affair. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. That indeed Allah hears this discussion between you. The woman had come quietly talking and mentioning to the Prophet ﷺ these issues, and then it mentions that indeed Allah hears this discussion that is occurring. So then Aisha radiallahu anha said, Alhamdulillah alladhi wasi'a sam'ahu al-aswat. That amazing praise to Allah who hears all of the voices, all of the sounds. Inni la fil hujra wa innahu la yakhfa alayya ba'du hadithiha. She said, I am in my room, and they were just there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this woman. Aisha says, from here in my room, I wasn't catching everything the woman was saying. And yet Allah reveals the ayah that he hears everything that was said in that conversation. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, oh, praise due to Allah. Here from my room, I cannot even make out everything what the woman is saying. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears every single thing and every word that is said. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَوْقَ عَرْشِهِ يَسْمَعُ كَلَامَهَا وَيَسْمَعُ مُحَاوَرَتَهَا لِلنَّبِي عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And Allah from above his throne hears that discussion that occurred, and that complaining, etc., that occurred, that discussion between the woman and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From above the throne Allah hears every word exactly. Yet Aisha says, just from the corner there, from the room, I couldn't make out everything that the woman was saying. وَتَأَمَّلْ كَيْفَ جَاءَتِ الْآيَةِ بِلَفْظِ الْمَاضِي وَلَفْظِ الْمُضَارِعِ. The Shaykh says, notice how in the ayah, the past tense and the present tense are both mentioned. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Indeed Allah heard. And then وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمَا. Allah hears your discussion. Allah heard and Allah hears. Past tense and present tense, the ماضي and the مُضَارِع, both mentioned. كَمَا جَاءَتْ هَذِي الْمَادَّةِ سَمِعَ بِمَعْنَى التَّعَجُّبِ مثل قوله تعالى أسمع بهم وأبصر. أسمع بهم يعني ما أسمعهم وما أبصرهم. فهذا يدل على أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يسمع سماعا حقيقيا. The point of all of this, to highlight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything in reality. Hears all of those voices and those sounds. لأنه قال قد سمع وقال والله يسمع. ولو كان المراد بذلك العلم ما صح، لأن علم الله تعالى كان سابقا، وهذا يدل على أن سمعه متعلق بقول هذه المرأة حالا، حيث قال والله يسمع. The point of all of this, the Shaykh says in the ayah, it is mentioned that Allah heard and Allah hears, indicating that the meaning of it cannot be knowledge. Knowledge always comes ahead of any action or statement. The present tense verb indicates the hearing occurring at that moment when the sound and the speech was occurring. Meaning it can't be knowledge. That would mean if it was knowledge that Allah was only gaining knowledge of that as it was occurring. That can't be the case. Allah had knowledge of that in advance. So what was happening as it was happening? The hearing of it was happening as it was happening. But the knowledge of it, you cannot say that is present tense. Knowledge is always in advance. There's no such thing as knowledge occurring just now in the present tense, i.e. Allah gaining knowledge of something only when it happens. Knowledge of Allah is always going to be in advance. So when the ayah talks about something happening in the current tense, right now, present tense, then that can't be knowledge. Knowledge always occurs in advance. So here now it can't be knowledge. It means hearing. The actual hearing. When the woman actually spoke, then that is heard at that time in the present tense. As for the knowledge regarding it and what she was going to say, already in advance. So the people of innovation are refuted when they claim that hearing and seeing is just a meaning of knowledge. It cannot be. Knowledge is always in advance. This hearing and seeing is mentioned as occurring in the present tense. Then it mentions at the end of the ayah, "Inna Allaha sami'un basir," that indeed Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةِ كَالتَّعْلِيلِ لِمَا قَبْلَهَا. This sentence is like an explanation. It is like a justification or a reasoning to explain the previous parts of the ayah. That Allah is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So that now gives you an explanation of the ayah, that Allah heard their conversation, Allah heard their debate. Allah hears all of that, of course, because He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So the end of the ayah gives you that reasoning behind it and the explanation behind it. وَمِنْ هُنَا أَخَذَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ أَنَّ الْإِسْمِ إِذَا كَانَ مُتَعَدِّيًا فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَتِمُّ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ إِلَّا بِإِثْبَاتِهِ وَإِثْبَاتِ مَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ صِفَةِ وَإِثْبَاتِ الْحُكْمِ. There are certain attributes of Allah that require a three-part iman in them. There are certain attributes, in English they call them transitive, but there are certain types of attributes that require three things from you. Firstly, to affirm it, to believe in it and affirm it, as we've always said, affirm the attribute. Then to believe in, or rather to affirm the name first, Secondly, to affirm the attribute that comes from the name. Firstly, to affirm the name, Allah is the all-hearing, as-sami'. Secondly, to then affirm the attribute that comes from it, that Allah is the all-hearing then. He hears, the attribute of hearing. Then sometimes with some names you have a third part. You affirm the name, you affirm the attribute that comes from the name, and then sometimes you have a third part goes with it. The hukum, as they say, the consequence of this. What is the consequence of this? Allah is the all-hearing. Allah hears everything, has the attribute of hearing. His name is the all-hearing, has the attribute of hearing. What is therefore the consequence of that? The consequence of that, you could talk about it in terms of the previous types. One of the consequences of Allah hearing is that those who spoke evil and bad will be punished about it, punished upon it. Allah heard it. Those who were in need of the aid and Allah heard them, then the consequence of Allah being the all-hearing and having the attribute of hearing is that He will then aid those. That is a consequence that arises from it. That is something which emanates from it. So He hears. He hears. And then He acts upon that, or whatever is occurs as a consequence of that. Then you must believe in that too. فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَلَّا نُسْمِعَ رَبَّنَا مَا يُغْضِبُهُ عَلَيْنَا. This point now the scholars say, when you learn all of this now, everything we've done up to there, somebody might say, well, okay, what's the real benefit of all of that? What is the real benefit of learning everything we've just done in that half an hour now? That Allah, His name is the all-hearing. That His attribute is that He hears. These evidences that Allah heard those, the woman who came and complained and Aisha from close by couldn't hear. What is the real benefit in knowing all of that? What is the fruits and the benefit for you as an individual to know that? And when you study the names and attributes, this is like a section that you need to know. You study the name of Allah, you study the attribute of Allah, the impact of that, the consequence, as we said. But then, as a section under all of that, how does all of that benefit you? How does this knowledge benefit you? A person may say, you learn how to pray, that benefits you. You learn how to make wudu, it benefits you. You're going to go do it, it's worship. This, how does it benefit you? What are you going to do with this knowledge? Anyone? Particularly this attribute. You now know Allah is all hearing. You know that He has the attribute of hearing. What is therefore the impact and benefit for you to know that? Exactly. That you will then rectify your actions in accordance to that. You will now watch your statements. You will now watch your speech. Because you know everything you say is heard by your Lord. This is the impact of the names and attributes. All of them have this impact upon you. There is an impact upon you, a benefit upon you in knowing all of these names and attributes. You know that Allah is all hearing. So now, every time you talk, every time you utter a word, you know that it will be heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a consequence, you will now watch over your words. You will now guard over what you say. And that's why the scholars, they mention, when you talk, you have been blessed with two levels of security before you're able to talk. Just to give you extra protection to make sure you don't say something wrong. You've been given two levels of security. One is your teeth. To be able to talk, you gotta get your tongue out past your teeth. You have to get your tongue past your teeth to talk. You have to get it past that security code. Then after that, you get past the teeth, you need to get past the second level of security, which is your lips. If you get past your teeth, but your lips are closed, then you still can't talk. You gotta get past that security too. Two levels of security. You get past your teeth, you get past your lips. Now your tongue is out and you can do what you want and say what you want. The scholars, they say, you got these two levels of security here. Use those two levels of security. Keep your tongue locked up behind those two levels of security. Don't let them just open up. Both levels open and your tongue is out and loose. Control your tongue between, behind those levels of security. And that's why the scholars, they say, a person, he may be from the greatest of the worshippers, so much worship, all of the hard work he does, all of the night prayers that he does, all of the obligatory prayers, his hajj, his zakah, his fasting, he does all of that hard worship and he toils and puts effort in doing all of that worship. Takes time and effort. Hajj, time and effort. Fasting 30 days of Ramadan, time and effort. Yet all of that can be destroyed. That hard work, toiling, effort, blood and sweat, literally. All of that can be destroyed in the easiest of manners. By sitting back and relaxing and opening up your tongue. You can destroy all of that. You do a month of fasting. All day, not eating or drinking, 18 hours a day. Waking up early, going to bed late, the night prayer, all of that hard work in the day, and all of it can be destroyed by a few moments of relaxation when you allow the security to open. Destroy everything you've done. backbiting this one, spreading namima about that one, talking evil about that one, lying about this one, deception on that one. A few moments of relaxation with the security and you've destroyed the whole day of fasting. 18 hours of your fasting destroyed by 18 seconds of your speech. It is possible. Hence the hadith it mentions. Man lam yada' qawl az-zur wal 'amala bi wal jahl fa laysa lillahi haja fi an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharabahu. The one who doesn't leave the false speech and the ignorant actions, al-jahl, the scholars say it means here foolishness. The one who doesn't leave these types of behaviors and speech, then Allah is not in need of you leaving your food and drink. Meaning your fasting, it is taken away the reward. The reward goes, and it mentions, as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, you could do so much speech, so much damage with your speech, that the whole day of fasting, it is ruined and destroyed by that damage your speech does. Hence, when a person knows now Allah is the all-hearing. Allah is the all-hearing. So now you'll think before you speak. You will think before you speak. And that's why Shaykh al-Fawzan says, what you're going to say, before you say it, you obviously think it in your mind, what you're going to say. The Shaykh says, when you're at the stage of thinking it in your mind, what you're about to say, it is still under your control. You own your speech. You own your speech as long as you are just in the stage of thinking what you're going to say. Once it goes past your security and it comes out and it is heard, now you no longer control that speech. It is gone forever. Forever it is gone. Forever. Meaning, you are now going to say to Abdullah, your thawb is horrible. You're thinking in your mind, all this lesson, I've been sat there looking at this thawb and I hate it. So now I'm thinking it in my mind. As long as I'm thinking it in my mind, I control my speech. I control it yet. Nobody can hold me accountable on that yet. Nobody knows yet. Once I say it, Abdullah, your thawb, nonsense. After that, when he gets to 80 years old, he's still not going to look at me good in 80 years' time. Because in 80 years' time, he will still be able to remember the speech which came out of my mouth. I can never take that back from his hearing. I can never take it back from his hearing. Once you have said it, you are no longer in charge of it. That's what the Shaykh said. Once you have said something and it has gone into the hearing of someone else, now they have controlled it. They've taken it. They have that speech. They have heard it. You can never take it back now. Take it back and retract and repent, okay? But the actual hearing of it and remembering of it, he'll be 80 years old and he'll remember that. Even though your thawb is good, don't worry. Then, فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا أَلَّا نُسْمِعَ رَبَّنَا مَا يُغْضِبُهُ عَلَيْنَا. So it is upon us to make sure we do not say anything that will anger our Lord. إِذَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُ يُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْمَعْ كُلَّ قَوْلٍ يَقُولُهُ. If a believer believes, you have iman, that Allah hears everything you say. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُوجِبُ أَلَّا يَقُولَ قَوْلًا لَا يُرْضِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That will then dictate that you will not say anything that will anger Allah. You will only say that which pleases Allah. This is the impact of knowing that Allah is As-Sami'. In the same way, every name of Allah, you derive this impact and benefit. That is the meaning of إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That indeed it is only the scholars, the people of knowledge who really fear Allah. Because they are the ones who know all of these names of Allah. They are the ones who know all of these attributes of Allah. And they are the ones who therefore know all of these consequences of them. They know Allah is As-Sami'. So they guard their tongues. They know Allah is Al-Basir and they understand that properly, carefully with the ayat. They'll watch their actions, knowing Allah sees them. And just the same way, all of the other names and attributes of Allah. They know them, they remember them, and that changes and affects how they behave. Hence, the scholars are the ones who truly fear Allah. Because they have the knowledge of the names and attributes of Allah. therefore impacting on how they behave because of what they recognize of their Lord. As for the one who does not recognize anything, doesn't know anything, never study the names and attributes, then they will say they fear Allah. But their level of fearing Allah, their level of loving Allah, all of their levels are going to be low compared to the one who actually has knowledge of all of these names and attributes of Allah. This has a massive impact upon a person. These things, you could wander around Manchester for your whole life and you would never come across these types of studies. These types of books will not be taught to the people of innovation. These things is what Ahlus Sunnah will teach. These are the topics that have been taught by the Salaf up until this day. Now the scholars teach these books. These are the things, this knowledge, that if you learn it and you understand it, it truly impacts upon you. Truly impacts upon your heart. Truly impacts upon your behavior. When you know these names and attributes of your Lord. And that is not something minor. But for the people of innovation, not a single moment for these things. In fact, the people of innovation, you go to them, they say all of this aqidah, everything, it's a 5-minute job. Allah can hear, He can see. Yes, good, done. We know Allah can hear, Allah can see. What's the big deal? Move on. That is how the people of innovation talk. But Ahlus Sunnah, they do not talk in that way. Ahlus Sunnah, they look at these affairs. They look at the words of Allah in the Quran telling you. Because only when you look at this in detail and ponder over it, do you really think about that Allah is the all-hearing. And Allah does hear everything I say. Only then, once you've thought about it and it's settled in your mind, will it then impact on you later on and you'll actually stop to think before you talk. Only then will you stop to think before you do your actions. As for Allah can hear, Allah can see, move on. In through one, out through the other. No impact, no pondering on it. Then that doesn't affect you and doesn't benefit your heart. Then moving on to the next narration, the change we'll do next week. The hadith, he says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سُلَيْمَانِ بْنُ حَرْبٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا حَمَّادِ بْنُ زَيْدٍ عَنْ أَيُّوبٍ عَنْ أَبِي عُثْمَانٍ عَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى قَالَ كُنَّا مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي سَفَرٍ فَكُنَّا إِذَا عَلَوْنَا كَبَّرْنَا فَقَالَ اِرْبَعُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِكُمْ اِرْبَعُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِكُمْ فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا تدعون سميعا بصيرا قريبا ثم أتى علي وأنا أقول في نفسي لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فقال لي يا عبد الله ابن قيس يا عبد الله ابن قيس قل لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فإنها كنز من كنوز الجنة أو قال ألا أدلك به. This narration is another narration talking about the hearing of Allah and another example of it. It mentions Abu Musa, he says that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion on a journey. We were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion on a journey. And as they were journeying up hills, down valleys, up the various relief of the ground, he says, when we would go up an area of traveling up a hill, going along their journey, they come across a hill and they're going up the hillside. When we were rising up a hill, going up sections, we would raise our voice and say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, as we were going up on the ascending areas. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Irba'u ala anfusikum. When they were raising their voices, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, take it easy on yourselves. اِرْبَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ هَيِّنُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Take it easy upon yourselves. You are not calling upon the one who does not hear. You are not calling upon the one who does not hear. I.e. you are calling upon the one who hears. And you are not calling upon somebody who is absent. You are not calling upon somebody who doesn't hear or is absent, such that you need to raise your voices. You're not calling upon somebody who doesn't hear or is absent, such that you need to raise your voices. تَدْعُونَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا قَرِيبًا. You're calling upon someone who is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, and near. You are calling upon someone who is all-hearing and all-seeing and near. And then the hadith goes on to the remainder of it, but this is the shahid up to here. So in the narration it says, كُنَّا مَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي سَفَرْ فَكُنَّا إِذَا عَلَوْنَا كَبَّرْنَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ عَلَّمَهُمْ إِذَا عَلَوْا كَبَّرُوا وَإِذَا هَبَطُوا وَادِيًا سَبَّحُوا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught them, when traveling, you go up hills, you go down valleys. When you come to a section, you're going up a hill to make takbir and say Allahu Akbar. And when you come to a section where you're going down a valley into a ditch type, then to say Subhanallah. This is how they were taught. And this is because as you are going up, this indicates the highness of Allah. As you are ascending, indicates now, in relation to that, the suitability of that, you going up, indicating the highness of Allah. So you say, Allahu Akbar. As you are going down, you are going down, then you are going down. Going down is always indicated, or it is always linked to deficiency, going down. So then you say, Subhanallah, which means that Allah has no deficiency. Going down is always something indicating the negative. Going down. Lower marks, going down the table, going down the charts, that's poor. Going up the charts, that's praiseworthy. Going up is always generally praiseworthy. Going down is always generally dispraiseworthy. So when going down, the Prophet ﷺ taught them, say Subhanallah, that Allah is free of any deficiency. Going up, which in of yourself, as you go up, you feel going up a hill, as they say, on top of the world. Then to remove any feeling of greatness for yourself, as you're going up now on top of the world, to remove any feeling of greatness from yourself and to remember you are just a servant, you say as well, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, not you on top of the world. So you remember your smallness even when you are, inverted commas, on top of the world. And you say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Remembering your smallness, even where you are at the top. When going down, now into deficiency, you make it clear that Allah is not any, has no deficiency. So this is how the Prophet ﷺ had taught them. The Shaykh says, as a side point, that can be, Allahu A'lam, possibly applicable, it can be used, when you are in a plane. When you're in an aeroplane and it takes off, that means you're going up or down. Inshallah, up. So when you're going up, then you say, Allahu Akbar, ascending. When it's descending and you're going to land, then you say, Subhanallah. The Shaykh says, possibly that could be, it could be interpreted that you can do it there. Because it is a very similar example to ascending and descending. So the Shaykh says, مِثْلُ ذَلِكْ فِي مَا يَظْهَرْ الطَّائِرَةِ عِنْدَ سُعُودِهَا عَلَيْنَا أَن نَقُولَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَعِنْدَ نُزُولِهَا نَقُولَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ. Possibly the Shaykh says that could be said to be the same thing, so you could do it there too. فَكَانُوا يُكَبِّرُونَ. So when they were going up, they used to say, Allahu Akbar. But, لَكِنَّهُمْ يَرْفَعُونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ. They used to raise their voices. Allahu Akbar. يَرْفَعُونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ وَيَشُقُّونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And they used to raise their voices to the level that it was actually difficult. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. To the extent that they were actually tiring themselves out with the amount they were raising their voices. فَقَالَ. So the Prophet ﷺ said to them, اِرْبَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Take it easy on yourselves. يعني هينوا أو هونوا هونوا عليها لا تشقوا عليها فإنكم لا تدعون أصم ولا غائبة هونوا عليها. Make it easy on yourselves. Relax. Take it easy. Don't burden yourselves. You're not calling upon the one who does not hear, nor are you calling upon the one who is absent. قال لا تدعون ولم يقل نعم. So the point of that being that he said to them, you're not calling upon somebody who doesn't hear and doesn't and is not close. Rather, you are calling upon the one who hears and he is close. قَرِيبًا ضِدُّ قَوْلِهِ غَائِبًا. So this is in opposite to the statement of the one being absent. So he clarifies to them, the Prophet ﷺ clarifies to them, that Allah is all-hearing and Allah is near. So you don't need to tire yourselves out in this way, exhausting yourselves by raising your voices, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. To such an extent you're tiring yourselves out going up as well. Take it easy on yourselves. Allah is the all-hearing and He is the one who is near. Say it quietly, it's okay. So Allah being near, what does that mean? Does it mean a person comes along and says, Allah is near, i.e. Allah is therefore everywhere? Allah is near, like in the narration where it says, in another narration of the same hadith, it mentions, وَفِي لَفْظ إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِهِ. That the Prophet ﷺ said to them, the one you are calling upon, in another version of this event, he said to them, the one you are calling upon is closer to you than the neck of your riding animal. They're on a camel, sitting on the back of a camel. The neck of the camel is where? What, 30 centimeters from them, 1 meter from them? Prophet says to them, Allah is closer to you than the neck of your riding animal. Meaning right close to you. So if Allah is right close to you like that, it therefore means, as the people of innovation will say, that Allah is everywhere. Allah is everywhere. And that, to say Allah is everywhere, is a deficiency. You may think, how? Surely the one who is everywhere is praiseworthy compared to the one who can only be one place. Incorrect. Saying that Allah is everywhere is a deficiency. The scholars, they explained, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen and others, they said, in terms of location, there are three locations. Either something is below you, or it is same level as you, or it is above you. Three locations. Either below you, same level as you, or above you. Three possible locations. From those three locations, is it possible that we can say Allah is in the below us location? Impossible. As humans, we understand that is degrading. Somebody below you, that is degrading. That means you are superior to them. So there's no way we could say Allah is in the location of belowness. The second level, same location as you. Can it be said that Allah is equal to you? On the same standing, same platform you are sharing, somebody being equal to you, can we say Allah is in the location of equality to us? Everybody agrees there too? Clear logic this. You cannot say Allah is on the level of equality with you. No way. How can you claim to be on the same level as Allah? Equality in location. The only logical possibility, before you even get to any evidences about the ulu Allah, the only logical possibility your mind will accept before you get to anywhere else even, is that Allah can only be in the location defined as above you. That is clear logic, cannot be denied. Location below you, I am here now, the ground is below me. At this level now, somebody comes and sits on the table, they are equal to me. Above me, they're above me. There's no way I can say that Allah is below. There's no way I can say I'm equal to Allah. Allah is here, I'm here, equal level, equal footing. No chance. The only thing I can say is Allah is above me. That's the only location from the three that is the location of praiseworthiness. And that is understood in creation simply and easily. The king, when he sits, where does he sit? On the throne, below everybody else, and everyone's higher than him. Rather, the king is always above, because that is the place, that is the location of superiority. Everybody else, all the delegates, sit on an equal grounding. Everybody else, all his people, they sit on an equal grounding. The judge in the courtroom, always the one who is the highest up. Everybody else on the ground floor, equal footing. So, you cannot say that below is superiority. Of course it is not. You cannot say equal footing level is praiseworthy. It is not. It is not. The judge sits at the top because he is the judge. He's the superior one above all of these people there now. He's the superior one, so he sits above. So the only possibility left for you to say is logically, before you even get to anywhere else, Allah has to be in the location that is above. You want to claim Allah is everywhere? Then by necessity you are saying Allah is above. And you're saying Allah is here, equal level and footing with me. And you are saying the third, which cannot even, you don't even want to say it with your words. That is what you have to by necessity say when you say Allah is everywhere. That is one point. Then on top of that, all of the dirty places on the earth, Allah is everywhere you say. Outside just there now, you walk outside, there's the rubbish bin. You walk out here, there are the toilets. Now all of a sudden you have to start making lots of exceptions. And you're going to have to make a lot. Manchester too, you're going to have to make a lot. So you're going to have to make a lot of exceptions for the streets out here. Now, this is what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said. If you start saying, Allah is... I lived here, by the way, as well. Don't get me wrong. When you start saying that Allah is everywhere, you're going to have to sit there for the rest of your life and start making a list of exceptions. Because practically everywhere is going to end up an exception. Down the alleyway there... Oh, not the alleyway. Down over there where the rubbish... No, not the... That street over there where all those people live. No, no. You have to make exceptions everywhere all of a sudden. You see how nonsensical it becomes. You see how nonsensical it becomes. So Shaykh al-Islam said, what are you talking about? You're saying Allah is everywhere? Starts listing out the bathroom, this, that, Allah is everywhere? Then you gotta, no, not this, not that, not this. Then Allah isn't everywhere then. So the reality is, here when it says Allah is close to you, come back to the point of it, we say that yes, Allah is close to you in reality. But that does not mean that Allah is everywhere, because we have narrations telling us clearly that Allah is above the throne. Allah is above the throne. And Allah is with you in reality too. How do you understand that? Because, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned in another explanation, Shaykh Fawzan, the scholars in their books of Aqidah, being with someone, even in English, has different meanings. It does not necessitate, even in normal language, to physically be somewhere. It doesn't have to necessitate that. But you are with that person. This is just understanding of the language. You got an exam, and you ring your parents who are in a different country, thousands of miles away, and you say, inshallah, tomorrow is my exam, etc. Your parents say to you, don't worry, relax, revise, I'm with you. Or in some other situation, you've got some problem. You're going to court tomorrow. You've been oppressed. You're the one wronged. You're going to court tomorrow. You ring your friends thousands of miles away in another country. They say, don't worry, don't worry. We're with you. Stay strong. We're with you. Are they with him? They sat thousands of miles away in a different country. But is it linguistically correct and perfectly good for them to say that phrase? Don't worry, stay strong. We're with you. Linguistically, is it correct to say that or not? Absolutely. Because there now, it has a meaning of, we are with you, as you may say in English, the spiritually with you. We're with you, we're in your aid, we're in your corner. So you can use this term, we are with you, I am with you, and it doesn't necessitate one meaning or another. Now I say, I am with you. I am with you right now. That meaning is, I am physically with you. I am physically with you. You can say that this person or this student, this individual is with those innovators. That person, he's with those innovators. You walk past, you see him, you say, this man is a mubtadi'. He's with those innovators. They are nowhere to be seen.
Those innovators, where are they? They're not there with him. What does your statement mean? He is with them. You've just said he's with them, but he's not with them. I can see you're lying. I can't see anybody with him. What do you mean he's with them? That he is upon their same methodology. The word with can have different meanings. So when we say Allah is with us in reality, not in some metaphoric way, in reality, but Allah is above his throne in reality, then there is no contradiction. There is no contradiction in that. Because don't try to understand the with in any one context your mind tells you. There are different meanings for it. But it is a real, a withness of reality. It is not just to say that it means Allah's knowledge is with us. We say Allah is with us in reality. And Allah is above the throne in reality. And we don't say Allah is everywhere. These things are clear when you start learning more and more about the names and attributes. And inshallah, that section, maybe it'll come later on again, where you talk about Allah being with the creation and yet Allah being above the throne. So for tonight anyway, we'll conclude upon that point. We'll carry on next time where it finishes off on the section of Allah hearing and Allah seeing. And we'll do the Asaneed next week as well. And then it goes on to Allah being the forgiving. And that is again important too. Important due to the fact that all of us have shortcomings and all of us have sins and wrongs. So then to learn about this attribute of Allah, this attribute of Allah forgiving, and the name of Allah that He is the forgiver. So that inshaAllah ta'ala is where we'll move on to from next time. We'll conclude upon that for tonight. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ